Saw border.
I had this crazy dream about some folks who love this country who all began to dream the same dream. And when the morning came, there arose across this nation people thinking one and the same. Their freedoms and all their liberties had gradually been taken away. And when they realized the danger to their posterity, I heard those patriotic people say, "We want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back. She's been driven way off track. We're wide awake and we're madder than hell now. And we ain't gonna take it anymore. No, we're not gonna take it anymore. Remember golden days when the stars and stripes forever symbolized her glorious name,
folks, America." You are listening to Republic Broadcasting Network here on March the 24th, 2023. I am your guest host, Maggie Rose. This is Jeffrey Bennett's Edge of Darkness, and we are welcoming you back here to RBN for real news, real talk, and real people. I want to say hello to Marcus Marshall out there. I did receive your message. And I also want to say hello to Sean Paul Bogo. Again, I received a message from both of you through Facebook Messenger. And I want to thank you so much for your loyalty to Republic Broadcasting Network. Also, Tom called me from Utah earlier today. And he's been very good friends with my friend Shauna Cox, and we were talking about Ammon Bundy and some of the other things that have been going on out there in the news. And so, again, I want to put a shout out to not only Marcus Marshall, Sean Paul Bogo, but also to Tom as well. Folks, we have coming back again today an Army veteran. He is the Columbia County coordinator for Oregon Firearms Federation, along with his buddy Kevin. He is also not only an Army veteran, but he was at one point in time a supporter of many of the people in Oath Keepers and many people who are in the 3%. Chris Brumbles had been a guest of mine many times and even co-hosted with me on the previous Concord show. He then flew out of the nest and ended up doing his own radio show every week, which was called Trigger Warning. and he's considering bringing something back like that, or maybe even a podcast. So for those of you out there, if you think you'd like to see him doing a podcast, reach out to us and let us know. You can also find many of his articles in Sherry's Redoubt News, which is out of Idaho. Again, that's Redoubt, R-E-D-O-U-B-T, News. You can find that on the internet. Chris, welcome back to the show.
Oh, thank you, Maggie. And all the old radio shows are on there, too.
Oh, that's wonderful. And people can go back who haven't listened to a lot of your shows.
It was called Trigger Warning. There's a reason, because I was hoping to teach people a few things and to piss off the left, because I love to do that.
I know you do. And, you know, you do spend hours when you're going to write an article for Readout News or for someone else. You spend a lot of time going over and polishing your writing till you really put out a very good product. But it's interesting, in some of your articles I've read and some of the things you put out there to the public, you have a way of sometimes writing, telling people to where to go and making them want to go there, don't you?
Well, we hope so.
Yeah.
Some of them are better than others, but usually I write better when I'm angry.
We've noticed that. But you do. But there are times when you have pulled your punches and you stated so to people out there that if I really let it all hang loose, it would probably be exploding all over your computer, right?
Yeah. Well, I don't like to attack conservatives too much, but I do like to attack the insanity of the left. But, you know, I will attack the conservatives if I have to, if they slip over to the dark side. Anyways, how has your week been?
Oh, it's been going along pretty good. We've been getting a lot of rain, and we've noticed there's some snow in the foothills around us. But other than that, we've had a few glimpses of sun. In fact, the sun's trying to peek out right now. I've already got some of my garden plants in, and went down the other day and followed my own advice, and I got 10 tiny baby chickies. And so we've got them on a heat lamp right now in a cage, literally in my master bathroom, because we've got 6 rescue cats here in the main part of the house. And once these chickies are old enough to be out from under a heat lamp, I'm going to be taking them over to a friend of mine's house, because we're going to be doing not only a community garden with her, but also doing a community raising chickens together.
Yeah. Well, last week we did talk about the J6 trial a little bit, and I would not mind if we could just talk about that for a few minutes today, because not everything got said. But
I agree.
The defense attorneys for some of the cases, obviously they got found out that, and the FBI were colluding. Who's the real people colluding? They were hiding materials. They were ordered to pretty much erase or destroy 338 items. Now, so basically, we found out that they had just, if this story is ongoing on quite a few places, but excuse me, the most trusted places I found is, according to the information coming out, is so they had to create a danger so that they could declare an emergency and suspend the rules. And this is on January 6th, of course. And the reason they wanted to suspend the rules, because then there would be no, I don't want to call it a precedent, but I guess it is, as it'd be a standing to go to the Supreme Court. So they set these people up so that basically they could steal an election, in my opinion. That's what happened. That's what they did. Trump won. We all know it. I mean, come on, look at this clown now. The guy cannot put two words together in a sentence. And during the election, during the campaigning, if he wasn't in his basement, he was drawing crowds of 3 or 4, basically.
Yeah.
And 30. So now we find out the FBI has hit all this information on the, I guess it's called their link system. I don't know if it's their email system or what. And now they've come back and they've said that, hey, those lies and deception we told, they don't even relate to this case. So we should just go ahead and forget all about that. And they've come up with a new term for some of the stuff instead of, you know, some of the stuff was supposedly secret or top secret. But now they've come up with a new term called other sensitive FBI stuff. So what does that even mean?
I don't know.
The point is people in our federal government are lying to us. Well, not just federal. Let's admit it. It's happening all over the place. I am sick to my stomach that the government who works for us is doing this. And I don't know how everybody else feels about it, but if there is no law, if the government isn't obeying the law, there is no law. And we've got to do something about this. We've got to put this to an end.
What do you recommend people do, though, Chris, literally?
I don't know. One thing you can't do is get I think that everybody should be hollering from the rooftops, making phone calls, making email, you know, sending emails, whatever they can to the, and keep an eye. We cannot let our eye off the government. We, of course, we have to have government. I'm not a person that doesn't believe we need government, but we need the government to obey by laws and rules like we have to. The Constitution is the supreme law of the land. We can't allow them to not obey the Constitution anymore. That's why we're losing our country.
So, and we're also losing our country, Chris, mm-hmm. because if you turn around, you look at not only how they're violating the U.S. Constitution, they're also, in many cases, in each state across the Union, they're violating their own state constitutions. And as you know, it seems like the only time that politicians in their prospective capitals want to obey their own state constitution is when it serves their interests, especially the Democrats, or what we call the Democons, the ones that are the great, false prophets and the con makers. But even in the state of Oregon, we're looking at how left and right they're violating the Oregon state constitution, and the state judges and the federal judges are doing the same thing. They're violating their oath of office. They're playing along to get along, and we're finding this with the elections in Oregon. I mean, we can see blatantly across mm-hmm. the nation where they've been violating election laws, but even the state of Oregon, if you just pick out one, just one, I mean, you and I could pick out many, but if you pick out just one, Article 2, Section 22 of the Oregon State Constitution, the Article 2, Section 22 shows that not only should a Kate Brown never been allowed to stay in office as governor when she moved from the Secretary of State up, but Tina Kotek, who is supposedly the governor sitting there now, as well as Christine Drazen and Tina and Betsy Johnson, none of those three women are eligible to be governor. And Tina Kotek should be removed. And Shamea Fagan, the Secretary of State, has allowed the violation of so many of the Oregon State Constitution, especially Article 2, Section 22, and she should be removed as Secretary of State. The AG should be removed. The Treasurer should be removed. And at least half, if not more than two-thirds, of the Oregon State Legislature, the Senates, and the Representatives. Don't you agree?
Well, I think they should be removed, but not for the reason you say.
Not because they're violating
the discussion, Maggie. They've already litigated this case, and the Supreme Court fell all over defending everybody in the state of Oregon who is in the Capitol that I know of, at least a couple years ago when I checked, had taken money from foreigners. Every single one of them.
I know. But Chris, what you don't know is when I've been educated, and I checked this myself from some people that are very knowledgeable, it was litigated. The Oregon Supreme Court did not want to touch it. They did not want to touch it. So they sent it, of all places. Can you imagine having the federal government make a decision regarding your sovereign state constitution? So they sent it to San Francisco to the Ninth Circuit. The Ninth Circuit goes, oh, they're taking money from outside the state of Oregon and big corporations in Oregon. That's freedom of speech. No, it's a violation of the Oregonians' past.
This was found in the Oregon Supreme Court to be freedom of speech.
Yeah, but it was overturned in 2020.
Well, you need to send that to me then, because I haven't seen that.
Okay, well, I can send that to you. But the Oregon State Supreme Court discovered that, yes, it was wrong for them to say that. It was wrong for the Ninth Circuit to say that. And so it was overturned. So the law that the Oregonians passed in 1997 still stands. You cannot take money from big corporations inside Oregon, outside Oregon, or from overseas.
Well, you shouldn't be able to, honestly.
Right. And you're talking about the J6. I don't know if you're aware of it, but every day the prisoners, the political prisoners in the jail, they get together roughly about 5 o'clock in the evening, between 5 and 7 o'clock, I guess it is, East Coast time. And I wanted to play for you what they do. They do a prayer, and then they sing, okay? And this is what I've got.
Mickey and a whole bunch of other people are outside. We love you, Mickey.
Love you, Mickey. Love you, Mickey.
Yeah, and so we're going to, Julian's going to lead a prayer. And then we're going to do what we do every night at 9 o'clock is sing the national anthem.
So this is 9 o'clock every evening, East Coast time.
Right, I saw that.
National anthem.
Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is the good shepherd. He is the true vine, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David and the bright morning star. He is the way and the truth and the life. Thank you, Lord, for opening the eyes of so many people in this country and the world. May we always let our light shine before others so that they may see your good deeds and glorify you and only you, our loving Father who art in heaven. It's in your most holy name that I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, great job, Julian.
3, 2, 1.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed as the twilight stripes and bright stars through the peril of a fight, o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rockets red glare, the walls bursting.
So, folks, that is our J6 political prisoners. They sing this every evening at 9 p.m. East Coast time to themselves and the nation. There's about 20 men there. Somebody got some video of them singing this after the prayer. And I just want us to remember them every day as we wake up, knowing that They have not been given, most of them have not been charged at all. Many of them are being tortured still. They are being denied many times to be able to even speak with their lawyers. And this is like a communist country, Chris.
Oh, yeah, it is. We've seen nothing but fascism, fascist communist society for the last three years. But, you know, there is a few good things coming out. There was a Oath Keeper that was acquitted on three of his felony counts, I believe it was yesterday, and a he was acquitted on two counts of conspiracy and one count of tampering with evidence. They did find him guilty on a misdemeanor count of entering and remaining on the grounds. On the grounds, he never went into the building. So I guess you can't even go on your own Capitol grounds now. And then they deadlocked on an obstruction charge, and that case was, they were deadlocked, so they had to let it go. Now, whether the feds will, you know, reinvent laws again and try them again, I don't know. But it looks like this crazy, I guess you can call him a president, is going to try and round up another 10 to 1,200 Americans on the January 6th thing again. I guess he hasn't had enough media coverage over it. That's what's coming out everywhere anyways. So will this ever be over? I don't know.
That's what I've been wondering. The thing is I think as long as they keep us distracted with this, mm-hmm. and also with their false flags, then we're not really paying attention to what the Wizarder's doing behind the curtain.
Right. Well, you know, the government is just out of hand. New Mexico officials just came out and they have these teacher training classes and taught by an attorney. An attorney came out and told them, and this is quote, parental rights end when you decide to send your kids to public school. So these people, they think that they own us. They want to take everything that we have and everything our children ever will have, and we need to just keep on them. I think that they're pushing, honestly, for a revolution and for World War III all at the same time. I think that's they want to. It's not a conspiracy theory. They want to turn this country into a communist country.
Now, who was it that said that you're? Parental rights end when you send the kids to a public school? Who's the one that said that?
That was an attorney talking to New Mexico teachers. They have these training classes.
Uh-huh.
And so in New Mexico, they have all these teachers convinced that we don't have any rights over our own children when we put them in these government schools. At least they admit it. That's what they believe. It's sad. But and then you got, okay, talking about police. In West Virginia, the West Virginia State Police just had their cell phones seized by the governor and all electronic data from nearly all the top leadership in the state police there concerning sex crimes, lies, fraud, and cover-ups. A whistleblower named Joseph Lomer, he alleged the cover-up going clear to the top of the state police. He was arrested a day before he was supposed to testify, charged with domestic abuse by another state trooper who had a child with him. Basically, he was waiting for, I believe he was waiting to pick, you know, get his kid, and cops showed up and arrested him. So they try to cover up their fraud and all that stuff by arresting intimidation like they do in Washington. This is sad. You know, I was listening to a lady. I don't know if you've ever heard them on YouTube when they stand out there and they listen to basically these millenniums. They ask them questions. They ask this chick, "What state is Utah in?" And she said, "I'm not very good at math." I mean, this is what we're dealing with. This is what we got's going to run our country. And then you got nothing but you got police all over the place violating the law. And then you got, of course, the top people in Washington violating the law. I don't know what we can do about this, but I know we can't give up.
Oh, I agree. I agree. But, you know, someone was saying something the other day in a talk show that the American people are saying, so many of them, we just want to be left alone to live our lives. Mm-hmm. You know, that's somebody else's problem. Those of us that are voting, you know, at least we're doing our duty by voting. And yet at the same time, many people won't even vote because they say they believe that, which is rightfully so, that their vote doesn't really count anymore because it's being so distorted by the Democrats with their, especially with their ballot harvesting. But so many people become either they've been fear-mongered or they become feeling apathetic or even downright hopeless. And you know, when people feel apathetic or downright hopeless, it sort of has a numbing effect on you. It kind of emotionally immobilizes you. Mm-hmm. And then you don't move forward to try to make a difference. And my answer to those people is, you're not being asked to march in Washington, D.C. or even on your state capitol. You need to get more involved in your local level at a grassroots level, whether it's with the county commissioners or whether it's with the school board. There are things you can do in your own hometown. And stop making these excuses. There's nothing you can do, because there's a lot of things you can do. But I think people are lazy, Chris.
Yep. Well, they will not react unless something affects them. Going back to J6 just for a second, they even found out that a Department of Justice embedded an FBI agent inside the defense team of a nonviolent J6 prisoner, a former Marine, Zachary Rell. I don't know if that's how you pronounce his name. This is during the Proud Boy case, which, by the way, has been suspended a week ago because of all the corruption they found. I don't know what's going to happen, but they're deleting evidence, they're hiding documents, they're spying on prisoners now, and this guy actually showed up and participated in prayer meetings with a member of this guy's family.
Oh, wow.
How low can it go?
Yeah.
Sick. But we know I know that they're stealing elections, and one of the reasons is because Eric, have you heard of the system, Eric?
No.
Electronic Registration Information Center. And that is a leftist designed and built system of artificial intelligence which gathers all data on every state resident. And it was, by the way, paid for by Soros. Addresses have been proven bad on this thing by the United States Postal Service. They found something like 885,000 undeliverable addresses just on the Florida rolls, and it said every county. I don't know. Seven states finally resigned from Eric just recently, including their mastermind David Becker. The problem is, we don't. What are they going to do next? Because a lot of these people that the Secretary of State that resigned from this said they would never resign. It's the greatest thing since peanut butter, and now they resigned. So we got to watch for something else coming up. But yeah. I do believe that's part of the reason they were able to steal our elections. What do you think about that?
Well, I totally agree. In fact, as somebody was saying the other day. And I've seen some YouTube videos on this as well, is that people can see with what's happening with all the banks that are crashing around everywhere, and there's only so much you can do. We shouldn't have to be bailing out all these banks, especially private banks like the Silicon Valley Bank. But I think that when you're seeing what's happening with the ERIC, and you're seeing what's been happening with the lack of election integrity, and you've got people who on both sides of the aisle, I'm talking about Republicans as well as Democrats, are so corrupted in this country. Yeah. Republicans are just as guilty as the Democrats. I feel that the whole situation is going to implode upon itself. And when you've got people in blue states, like in California and Oregon and New Mexico, that they are now openly thumbing their finger at us. They're openly like, all right, we've done this to you. There's nothing you can do about it. And you see Tina Kotek every day. She's thumbing her finger at the Oregonians. And yet the people, as you said, have not gotten angry enough to say, okay, now we're going to do major pushback.
Yeah, I think that these people want a war. That's what they want. They think that they can win. And I know we had somebody on last week that thought that we were done, but we're not done. We are America. I have total faith in Americans. We faced some pretty bad stuff in the past, and we've always come out on top. But the thing is, we always had God on our side, so people need to start invoking God back in.
I think some people have forgotten how to pray, Chris. They don't even understand the meaning of prayer.
Yeah, well, they better learn again, because we can't do it alone. But we do have to stand up to these tyrants and shout from the rooftops. If it doesn't matter if you have free speech if you don't use it.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's true. But you know, the American people. I truly agree with this one lady. She was saying the American people, on average, we're talking about here, had become very, very soft, very lazy. They've had it too good. They're so concerned about keeping up with the Joneses. They're so concerned about having the newest, it's not so much just the newest car, the newest TV, but every time Apple comes out with the new phone every year to 2 years, everybody has to run out and spend another $1,000 to $1,400 on the newest iPhone. Now, when I see people lining up in lines and their phone they have is less than 2 years old, so now they can get the newest model, to me, that's more than just keeping up the Joneses. To me, we become such a throwaway materialistic society. And I think that's part of what's made us lose touch with reality and what's really, really important. And it's not having the newest iPhone every 1.5 to 2 years. I mean, I can see changing out your underwear, you know, every few months. And I can see that every 3 months we should change our toothbrush. But spending $1,000 to $1,400 every 2 years on a new phone, to me, that is superficial. It's materialistic and it's stupid. And we have become such a throwaway society. We've lost sight of what's really important. And it's not material things, Chris. Unless you want to buy more beans and bullets and a new Bible.
I promise you I'll change my underwear at least every three months.
What?
I said, I promise you I'll change my underwear at least every 3 months.
Well, at least your toothbrush. <Just kidding. laughs> Yeah.
So let's talk some good news. There is a couple good things. There's California, of course, I told you all their gun laws are going to go down because all gun laws are illegal, especially since Bruin come out. I believe that gun control will be a thing of the past in within 10 to 15 years. The thing is just going to take time and money because these idiots that are running these state legislatures and running these states will not let it go, like California governor, Oregon governor, and Washington governor, Illinois, Hawaii, New Jersey, New York. They keep trying to take our guns. And why are they trying to take our guns? Why is that, do you suppose? Think back about any country that's taken guns. What's always happened? They always went to a totalitarian government and started killing off the people they didn't agree with. They're doing everything but that now. So California has this gun roster system where they put on their the handguns that they believe that you can own. And now you're supposed to have the three things to have a gun on that roster. Magazine disconnect, so like if your magazine comes out, the gun will not fire. A bullet indicator, like some of them have them on the side of the pistol. And micro stamping capability. Well, there is no pistol in the whole United States that has any of this. All three of these capabilities at the same time, but they do have some guns on there. But the courts just came up and told them that's unconstitutional. You cannot have this gun roster system, and they're angry about that. I'm pretty happy about it. Since when do we have to ask permission for our rights?
Exactly.
So, and then the ATF got spanked down about their new frame and receiver rule and told it was unconstitutional. They got an injunction put on that. So what did they responded by putting out a letter basically threatening these companies, because I believe this case was to do with oh, what was it? What's the name of that company? I can't recall the name of the company. But as soon as this case, as soon as they got an injunction, they went back on the internet, started selling their 80% lowers.
Oh, wow.
So the ATF put out a letter basically threatening them not to listen to the court. But they're doing it. So it's going to be an interesting ride. I do believe when it's all over, it'll be a permanent injunction and they'll never be able to. They basically told them, you know, Congress makes the laws. You don't make the laws. You can't just redefine what a frame and a receiver is and start, you know, making up your own laws.
Right.
So the Supreme Court seems to be doing us a lot better this last 6 months than they have been in the past. Unfortunately, you know, hopefully we got a long ways to undo all the damage that they and other government agents have done.
Now, I received one of the emails that I received since I do subscribe to the Oregon Firearms Federation was regarding the March 21st ban hearing, which was regarding the Oregon House Judiciary Committee that was scheduled to hear the three anti-rights bills, which was House Bill 2005, 2006, and 2007.
Mm-hmm.
And so what has now transpired from that? Because from what I'm understanding, all of these bills actually represent one of the most coordinated attacks on the Second Amendment that you or I have ever seen in my lifetime. And what's really crazy about it is that it's outlawing all privately manufactured firearms. I mean, when they say outlawing all privately manufactured firearms, that's eliminating gun and hunting rights as well, right?
What they're trying to do is they're trying to take away your capability of making them at home. Privately made, not privately marketed. And now with where those three bills are right now, they're going to try and blend them all together and make one bill. So they pulled it back a little bit. I guess that they, you know, they wanted all three of these passed. And if they passed all three of them, it would show their hand that they're just anti-gun zealots. So they're going to try and make it into one law, probably 54 pages long. And what the laws do is they ban, you know, privately made firearms that have no serial number. That's what they want. They want to get rid of ghost guns. They want to ban 18 to 20 year old. Let's call it like it is. People who are eligible to fight for you, for your country, but and die for you, but they don't want them to be able to have any rights when they're at home. So I'll say military age kids or grown-ups, whatever you want to call them. And then 2007 criminalized CHL holders even more by creating vast and undefined off-limits buildings all over the state. And of course, in there it says and adjacent ground, so it could be anywhere. You could have a McDonald's next to a government building and go on there with your CHL and be arrested, thrown in prison. That's what they want. The most law-abiding gun owners in the country are CHL holders. And in fact, cops create six crimes for every one that CHL holders do. Sorry, I'm having some froggies in my throat and not talking too well today. I got to clear my throat.
Go drink some ice water.
Another attack on CHL holders. It's all on law-abiding citizens. None of these laws affect criminals. They know it. They don't care. They keep letting murderers out of prison. They keep letting rapists walk, but they want to make sure that if you have a gun, by golly, if you can defend yourself, then you need to go to jail because you don't believe in our ideology.
Now, the SB, which is the Senate Bill 348, can you explain that to me better? Because what I understand the summary was that it was basically directing the Oregon Department of Justice to study ways to address what they would call unlawful possession of firearms, and then allowing them to provide results of the study to committees of the legislative assembly. So basically,
this is a placer bill, in my opinion. A placer bill. You know what that is?
No, I don't.
That's when they write a title or some fake thing. thing they want to get done, and they put it in there, and they wait till the end, and then they pull it out and put 54 pages of amendments and make it a huge anti-gun bill. That's they do them in Washington. They have them, what they call ghost bills. They don't even put a title on them, I don't think. They just put a blank piece of paper there. It's to hold their spot. So if they come up with, they think of another gun bill, by the end they can do it. It's just ridiculous. It's a placer bill, in my opinion. They don't care about the studies. They just want to be able to put more gun bills in if they need to at the end of the session. That's my opinion on it.
Wow. So then
it's more corruption is all it is.
Okay. So when you have that along with the House Bill 2007, which that one I understand means it's very kind of generic, but a kind of a vast definition of saying that it's off limits locations for concealed hand license holders, the CHL, that any government entity of any kind can not only decide that any particular property is off limits to law-abiding gun owners, that means that even teachers that have been authorized by their school district to go get a CHL and to have a firearm under lock and key in their classroom that they can reach in an emergency, that would also mean that teachers can't do that. And let's say your city hall of whatever particular town you live in Oregon, and I'm talking about Oregon's House Bill 207, that you can't even, if you're a store owner and you know that you only have one person working after midnight in your store, they would not be allowed to have a gun behind the counter to defend themselves if someone would come in, right?
That is possible. That is possible if there was a government building next to them and they are the adjacent property. I don't know how the government can tell you what to do with your property, but they do it all the time, don't they? Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's very possible that there could be a lot of people arrested for not even knowing they're violating the law. Of course, I don't think it's a real law. I think it's unconstitutional. And in fact, I know it is, but that doesn't always work out for us, does it?
No, it doesn't. In fact, a perfect example of that is JC and I were driving through Oregon, going down the I-5, and it was just after Eugene. And right before Cottage Grove, we pulled over to a rest site, and there was a homeless man out there panhandling for his family. And I guess the park maintainer who maintains the park said that he couldn't stand people that were poor, poverty, or homeless. He said that to my face. And he said he wasn't working for the Oregon Department of Transportation. He was a subcontractor under them. And he had called the state trooper to try and come and give this guy a ticket. Well, I had the guy call his brother. The brother came and picked him up, and they were literally driving away in their vehicle when the trooper showed up. And when the trooper saw that we had assisted this helpless man, his three oxygen tanks into the back bed of the pickup truck. This was right before Sangra turnoff exit heading southbound on the I-5 just before Cottage Grove. He was so pissed off, he took off after them, but I guess he didn't catch them. But we were lying, he was lying in wait for us. And when we drove by, he decided to punish us for helping this homeless man leave the rest stop and stop. You know, I encouraged the guy to stop panhandling, gave him some gas money. So the trooper followed us. And at one point he saw JC's two tires go slightly on the white line and then come back over into the right lane again and then slightly touch the white line. He pulled us over and gave JC a ticket for $250, and I went over the driver's manual, and it says there that they don't find it illegal to have your tires occasionally touch the white line on the far right lane. It's discouraged, but they don't find that, you know, there's nothing illegal about it.
No, so you got to cross them to pull over to the side of the road, don't you?
Yeah, so when we actually did a video conference with the judge in Eugene, Oregon, I brought up that page 15 and page 19 of the Oregon driver's manual that everybody has to study in order to get their driver's license. And she said, I don't go by the Oregon driving laws. She said, I go by our Oregon revised statutes. Well, how many people are going to memorize 2,000 Oregon revised statutes that get revised almost on a monthly or yearly basis. So if she's not going to go by the Oregon driver's manual that tells you what is legal and what is not legal, and yet she went in and charged him $250 anyway. So it's obviously it was just a revenue maker, right?
Well, yeah. Yeah, you know, statutes aren't law, in my opinion. They are basically, well, I'll just hold off on that. I'm not going to talk about that right now. It'll take too long.
Okay.
But look, we have the Constitution of the United States, the U.S. Constitution, and we have the Oregon Constitution. They are violating, some of these laws they write violate the Constitution. The U.S. Constitution is the supreme law of the land. Any law that violates it is not a law. And the Supreme Court has said that numerous times, but they keep violating them. But look at there's a hardly known law, federal law, that says you cannot give an emergency use authorization if there is any medication that has been shown to be effective against a targeted disease. So that now you know why they came out and they demonized hydrochloroquine and ivermectin. That's why the propaganda grew so strong, because they made billions and billions of dollars by trying to force people to do vaccines, and which aren't even vaccines because they changed the name. They killed how many people with this thing? So they pick and choose their laws, and if they don't like them, they lie about them. But this thing about you going over, there's got to be more to it. You sure there's not more to it? Just going
over? No, there's not. It was retaliation because we got the homeless guy, his three oxygen tanks, and his dog up into his brother's vehicle, and they weren't able to give him a ticket for panhandling in the rest stop off the I-5 corridor. And so, and what he did, the ticket said that he had driven, his tires had touched the white line. And then he got back in the right lane, and then he went around a curve, literally around a curve. The guy showed the video. As he went, as JC went around the curve, his tires touched the white line again. And so he said, you were either on and or going over the line for a couple seconds at a time. And so she fined him $250 for that.
That's insane. That's insane.
I know.
I would like to change the subject just for a minute if I could, because we're getting late.
Okay.
So,
well, I think the Oregon judges are insane, and especially in Eugene anyway, you know, traffic court judges.
You know, the judge I filed a complaint against, they sent me a letter. They checked up. They had a hearing or whatever they call it. And they said, not enough evidence there. That's all we can tell you, because it's all secret. Everything's secret now. So I knew that they wouldn't do anything. And I told them, I wrote back. Yeah, I'm not really surprised. But these we keep letting these judges, you know, basically legislate from the bench, and then there's no protection to us from them. Not very often. Once in a while, you hear about a judge getting in trouble, or a cop, but not very often. So the media has been trying for years to make conservative women look non-existent. Well, I just looked up some stats. Democrat women, there's about a third of the women are Democrats. Just shy of a third are Republicans, and the rest are independents. So, it goes pretty far. You know, they don't use conservative women on magazine covers, but Michelle Obozo was on Vogue. She was on Vogue 3 times when Melania Trump was the president's wife. You know. First lady, there you go.
Right.
And she was on the cover 0 times, and she was a model. They don't mention them. They mock them, and they label them. They love women and black people as long as they can be their puppets. So I'm going to encourage all women that are conservatives to get out there and fight, because you are strong. When women, they're afraid of women. And if you're a conservative woman, you need to let your voice be heard. We'll enjoy, you know, we would enjoy having you. So I just wanted to bring that out before. I know we're coming pretty close. We got about 10 minutes left.
Go ahead. So the next topic you wanted to talk about besides the J6 was what?
Oh, we already talked about Eric. I wanted to talk about Eric because that's important that people know what it is, and we need to get rid of it.
Right.
Yeah. They're recommending reparations in San Francisco. They want to give $5 million to every black adult. $5 million. They want to learn. And here's what they're asking for. $5 million to every adult, eliminate personal debt and tax burdens, guarantee annual income of at least $97,000 to $250,000 per year for the rest of their life. Oh, they want it to go on for 250 years. Homes in San Francisco, they want to be able to buy a home in San Francisco for $1 per family. I don't think there'd be anybody but black folks in California after that. I mean, this is just a few of the things they want. The thing is, it's funny because I just got done reading about the very first slave in this country didn't really, I mean, they like to tell you 1619 when actually 12 years before that, there was a whole bunch of Irish people over here that were slaves, and they were the first slaves. They were white or Celtic or Caucasian, whatever you want to call them. And the very first real slave owner was a black man. And that was like the mid-1600s. His name, I don't have his name in front of me. I'll have it next week. But they need to understand that slavery was a terrible thing, but it didn't just happen to black folks. And their own people captured them and turned them in. But this is insane. They just want $5 million for every black adult, eliminate personal debt, all their personal debt, no matter what it is, and tax burdens, guaranteed income of $97,000 to $250,000 a year. And they want to be able to buy a house in San Francisco for a dollar. you think they've asked for enough?
Yes, I the whole thing to me is insane. I mean,
it is insane.
If you're going to sit there and you're going to do this, first of all, it's going to bankrupt the state and the local governments. And number two, if you're going to do this kind of restitution, why not do restitution for what they did to the Irish and the Germans way back when, or even the Italians, right?
Yeah, it's not restitution, it's reparations. But reparations for what? None of them were – there's not a single – well, I shouldn't say that. There's more slavery now than there ever was back then. We should be doing something about that.
They're doing this now, Chris, because they've been getting away with giving this to the second and third generations Japanese that were born after their grandparents were put in the World War II concentration camps here in the U.S. So I guess they feel if they could do it for Japanese Americans, they could do it for anybody.
Well, none of these people have been slaves. In fact, most of them probably don't even know a slave that was in their family. And it's just ridiculous. All it is it's another way to divide us. That's all it is. No. If you want to make a communist country, just keep dividing the people. And that's what they're doing.
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh. So anyways, we got about 8 minutes left. Do I need to leave it to you?
No, no, go ahead. Go on to the next topic that you were going to cover with me today.
Oh, no, we should probably talk about if there's anybody from Oregon here. On here, I don't know if there is or not. I know there has been in the past. But Oregon now is the last two Walmarts in Portland are shutting down. Nightly closed, was going to reopen, but the city refused to provide them with off-duty police to patrol. So you go, it just proves that if you go woke, you go broke.
Right. And
there are three big festivals. I'm not finding them here. Three huge festivals that have been going on in Oregon. Oh, here we go. That are permanently closing. Oregon Symphony on the Waterfront Festival, the state's largest free concert. Oregon's Brewers Festival and the Food Fest. And they're shutting down. Well, they're all shutting down for the same reason. The festivals are shutting down because of taxes, too, because the taxes have become so unreal in Portland, they can't afford to do it. But there's no rule of law. And these people don't live. There's no rule of law.
So they're planning to close them down?
They're closed.
Oh, they're already closed. When is Walmart going to be closing?
the last two in the state are closing. I don't know. It was pretty soon. They may already be closed now. I don't know.
Do you think you can come back next Friday and give us a Second Amendment update on Measure 114?
Sure. I don't think it's going to change much, but I could.
Okay. Would you, Chris, please give out a phone number twice where people can reach you and an email address where people can reach you with the Oregon Firearms Federation?
Okay. I don't have the phone number handy.
All right.
Oh, crap. What is it here? Hang on a second.
Give us your email address.
So you can reach me at OregonFirearmsIncoCo@gmail.com. So it's Oregon Firearms in Coco, stands for Columbia County. OregonFirearmsIncoCo@gmail.com. And let's see here. I do not have the phone number with me. I'll have it next week.
Okay, we'll have it next week. Okay, well, Chris Brumbles, thank you. Folks, that's Chris Brumbles of the Oregon Firearms Federation. He and Kevin are working very hard. Whatever happens in Oregon, you would see that if things fail, it would happen across the nation. We cannot let that happen. We will not let that happen. We count on your generous donations sent to the Oregon Firearms Federation. It's going to cost probably millions of dollars to fight the state and the feds, right, Chris, for what they're doing. And we really count also, folks, on those of you listening here to Republic Broadcasting Network also to send your generous donations into RBN to help to keep us on the air. Any last words, Chris? Well, Chris is gone. All right. Well, thank you again to Chris Brumbles, Oregon Firearms Federation, for coming up with this, and we should have an update next Friday. We'll be doing Second Amendment Friday next Friday with Chris Brumbles. And if any of you have any stories or anything you want to send to me, please send it to me at the New Concord Hour with Maggie at hotmail.com. It's all spelled out, the New Concord, C-O-N-C-O-R-D, Hour, H-O-U-R, with W-I-T-H, Maggie at hotmail.com, or you can find me on Facebook. Thank you, folks, and don't forget, we are purely listener-supported, and we count on your generous donations here to Republic Broadcasting Network. God bless you all. Please have a very safe weekend. I will be back with you on Monday. Good night.
I may have too much, but I'll take my chances, say. I say 20 years and a day. There's nothing changed, the human race found some other guy and walked into the flames. It's hard to love, Jesus has so much to hate. Hanging on to a wall, there is no hope to speak out. Skies above say it's much too late. Then maybe we should all be praying for time.
One of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs. For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.